It's Monday, the 16th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Amari Stoudemire. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Joseph Mamone. And if you want to be like Joseph, who is obviously a good friend of the program and has been on the show before and is the owner of Hashtag Basketball and one of the guys at AllStar5.com, but I can't discriminate against Joseph because he left a review, so he gets to be a sponsor of the podcast for a day. And if you want to be like Joseph and sponsor the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become that very person. Also, a big shout out to moneyball.com.au for supporting the show as well. If you are living in Australia or New Zealand, make sure you are on moneyball.com.au. Play some daily fantasy. There's a $5,000 tournament up tomorrow, the Tuesday $5,000 bank, I think it's called. So get on there, take me on in that and in all my head-to-heads and in the Red Rock League that I post on there every day. Make sure you are getting involved. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Interesting into the week. The early games are always a weird scenario. Always, especially for daily with those early games throwing off lineups and all that sort of stuff. But hopefully, you guys got the most out of your matchups and got as many victories as you could. It was tough this week with so many injuries, and provided you didn't panic, which you shouldn't, You'll come away with a few losses. I lost in quite a few of my leagues this week because I was holding guys, you know, who did I have? Obviously, I'm still holding Robert Covington in a few leagues. I had Ricky Rubio in quite a few as well. And they're guys that you're not cutting and you just have to deal with it. And it's going to happen over the course of the season. So you always take those few early losses. And if you get out of it with a 4-5 or something like that, I think you should be pretty happy. Right, let's talk about the action from Sunday. As Michael Bolton would say,
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. It's good to have him back. Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans. Davis was back after missing a couple of games with a hip bruise. He played 40 minutes here. He went 36-11. He hit a couple of threes, had an assist, a steal, four blocks, and his customary big percentages, 14 of 26 from the field and 6 of 7 from the free throw line. It was really good to have Davis back, and for as disappointed as his owners are this season, he's still a top 10 fantasy guy. He's averaging almost 26 points, a 3 a game. Yes, he's averaging a 3 a game, over 9 rebounds, 2.8 blocks, 49 and 74%, and the only way for him to go in a lot of these categories is up. He's actually scoring more than what he was last season, so again, for somewhat of a disappointment, the scoring's up, and he's shooting at a worse percentage. So if the percentage comes back up to that 50-54%, which is probably unlikely if he's starting to take more shots from three, and he is averaging 2.4 shots attempts per game from three this season, up from 0.2 last season, that's going to drop his field goal percentage. But he's still going to be an above-average field goal percentage guy, and I don't think there's any reason to panic. And some people would have pulled off some crazy trades to get Davis in the first couple of weeks of the season where his owner was panicking unnecessarily, I think you'll find. And you've got to be happy being able to get Davis. And in pretty much any deal where you get Anthony Davis, you've won that deal. So if anyone's offering any sort of trades, let me know, and you can ask me what I think about it. But in general, if you're getting Anthony Davis, you're winning that trade. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Mario Chalmers, now of the Memphis Grizzlies. He played 18 minutes. He dropped 16 points. He had 2 threes, 4 assists. He blocked a shot. He went 2 of 4 from the field, but probably the more impressive or the most impressive part of his line was the 10 of 10 from the free throw line. And if for some reason you had Mario Chalmers, it would have been pretty weird if you did in a standard league, but you could have. That 10 of 10 could have easily swung the free throw percentage category on the last day. It's 100%, obviously, but it's on such a big volume that it's very impactful. And that's two really good games in a row that Chalmers has had since coming to Memphis. On the season, he's only averaging 20 minutes a game, but his value is top 130 in standard leagues. A lot of that is the 96% from the free throw line. And if he can start getting to one and a half threes, and he's currently at 1.5 steals, 3 assists, gets himself up to, say, 8 or no, maybe 10 points a game. There's some back-end 12-team league value there. I'm not rushing to grab Mario Chalmers, but if something was to happen to Mike Conley, then he's a guy that you want to add pretty much everywhere. We know his limitations, and that's his field goal percentage, but he can score, he can hit bunches of threes, he can get big steals. He'd be that one of those guys that as soon as something happens to Conley, go and click that add on Mario Chalmers. The young gun of the night. Really great to see this guy put up a big performance because I'm pretty heavily invested in him, and not necessarily from a league point of view, just from an opinion point of view. I've always thought this guy's going to make a very good fantasy player at some stage, and that is Marcus Smart of the Boston Celtics. Smart scored 26 points in 34 minutes. He hit 3 threes, had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block, 9 of 14 from the field, which is not something that he can continue to do at that sort of level, and 5 of 8 from the free throw line. That's been something of a concern from him, his shooting percentages. But it was good to see him getting some scoring happening. He's currently averaging, this is what he's going to be. He's going to be one of those guys, to me, that averages the same amount of rebounds and assists. He's at 3.2 of both of them this season. He's at 1.5 threes, 1.5 steals, and basically that's exactly what he did last year. He was at 1.4 threes, 1.5 steals last year, 3.3 rebounds, 3.1 assists. So he's at the same sort of level there, but what he's done is he's increased his scoring up from 7.8 up to 12.5, being more aggressive. He's taken his free throw attempts up from 2 a game to 4.3. He's taking 3 more shots from the field. The minutes are up as well. We just need those rebounds and assists to push to 4.5 or 5, and then we're talking about a top 60 player. And I really do think he's got tremendous fantasy upside. Him and Isaiah Thomas formed a really deadly backcourt today for the Celtics, with Avery Bradley coming off the bench. And I reckon that's not a bad combo. Thomas will probably go back to the bench in the next game. But playing all those guys, say 32, or even Bradley playing 28 and play these other guys 33, 34 minutes, I reckon it's a pretty decent combination. And I'm really excited to see how Marcus Smart develops over the next couple of seasons, because he can be that guy who touches so many categories: points, threes, rebounds, assists, and steals, and gives you positive contributions in all those categories. So a bit of a coming out party for him. After he had a really impressive summer league and was derailed early in this season with that toe issue, hopefully this is a sign of things to come for Marcus Smart. The dud of the night. It pains me to do this because this is a guy that I do like a lot, and that is Jonas Valanciunas of the Toronto Raptors. Valanciunas played just 20 minutes. He scored 4 points and had 5 rebounds. And in a case where he's really struggling, where he went 2 of 9 from the field and he's not really doing much, I'm okay with Dwayne Casey giving him limited minutes. When I'm not okay is when he's at 16 and 11 with 2 blocks on 7 of 9 shooting, and Casey goes, you know what, he should probably only play 23 minutes. That's what pisses me off. When he's playing poorly, whatever, you can bench him, and you can go with Bismack Biyombo for 27 minutes, which is what they did. So a really disappointing night from Valanciunas. There's no need to panic or anything like that. He is averaging 14 and 9.7 this year. We need his blocks to come back up, but he's at 59 and 78, really stellar percentages. He's putting in some pretty good value. Just not a great night for him. I just would love him to go 33 minutes a night. I would love that. I know there are some defensive limitations for him being out there, but his offensive game, to me, he deserves to have more than 27 minutes, because I think the way that he can influence a game offensively is a bigger positive than the negative that is his defense at times. So you know that I'm firmly in Jonas Valanciunas' corner most of the time. I want to introduce a new daily award today. I'm not sure how much relevance it has, but I think it's worth mentioning. And what it is it's the DFS value play of the day. So looking at the day before and talking about the guy who returned the best value, and how that's determined is points scored and salary, and a ratio of that cost. And the best guy yesterday who determined the best overall ratio of that cost per point differential is Marcus Smart. He had 43.1 FanDuel points at a salary of only 5,300. So in all likelihood, if for some reason you had him in a tournament and didn't butcher your other picks, you would have been right up there in the money. So he was the daily fantasy play of the day for Sunday. Okay, so what we're going to do now, obviously, is get into the games in a little bit more detail. For you guys watching along on the video, you can see those box scores up on the screen now. And follow along as I go through them and give my thoughts on what happened during the games. The first game of the night was the early one, as I mentioned, the midday game. I think it's midday? No, 1 p.m. Eastern, maybe. All I know is it was in the middle of the night here. Anthony Davis had that big game for the Pelicans. It is the Pelicans and the Knicks, by the way. Eric Gordon, he struggled a bit with his shot. it wasn't terrible, 5 of 11, but just couldn't get anything going. 11-2-2, not a great night for him, but he has been red hot over the course of this season so far. Ryan Anderson had 16 points and a couple of threes, not much else for him. And Ish Smith played 22 minutes off the bench, 2, 3, and 5. And this is the concern with owning Ish Smith, is you're going to have decent nights, you're going to have poor nights. Jrue Holiday played 25, went 7, 3, and 4. And Tony Douglas played 11 minutes. So that's the 3 point guards there. And that is the concern with Ish Smith, is that you're going to get games when Holiday sits and he's going to be great. But it's really almost impossible to own him at the moment in a standard league format. Alonzo G got the start again at small forward, 2, 4, and 1 with 2 steals. He's not a fantasy asset. And Omar Asik played a robust 13 minutes and had 1 rebound. He is just not a good player. I feel like that the Pelicans squandered some of their salary cap and squandered some of their ability to move forward by signing him to that big contract. He's just not good. They could have picked up a guy like, you know, Kylo Quinn, Kevin Seraphin for so much cheaper, and honestly is a better player than Omar Asik. I just don't think that Asik is a very good player at all, and he's definitely not a very good fantasy contributor. On to the Knicks, Carmelo Anthony, 29-13 with a 3 and a 3 assist, a pretty good night, some good percentages for him too. Langston Galloway's role off the bench seems pretty secure, 26 minutes for him, 15 points, 3 rebounds and 2 steals. He's still back in 12-team league, valuable, and there's upside for him because the guy ahead of him, he sucks. Aaron Aflalo is terrible, 26 minutes for Aflalo, 4 points, 3 rebounds. I'll tell you who Aflalo is, and I've probably said this before, he's a 3-pointer. A three-point shooter and scorer who can't score and can't shoot threes. It doesn't bode well for him in fantasy or in leagues. He is no place to me in a 12-team league. I can't have him. Yeah, he'll score and he'll go out there and get 13 points, but that's still below average, and he does everything else below average as well. And then he throws in a stinker like this. He's just no good. And I would love for Galloway and Jerry and Grant, I've said this a million times, to start getting so many more minutes for the Knicks. It's not going to happen. And that limits Galloway's upside a little bit. But if Aflalo continues to suck like he probably will, There's a bit there for him to really sort of take over a bigger role. Jose Calderon, 21 minutes, 8 points and 3 assists, while Jerry and Grant played 26 for 7 points and 3 assists as well. Not really, again, I mentioned this before, it's hard to own either of those guys. Robin Lopez is becoming a massive pain in the ass. 14 minutes for him in this game, no foul issues, 0 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal and 2 blocks. So he was productive, but when the Pelicans decided not to use Asik and went with Davis at center, Lopez didn't get as much run. Kristaps Porzingis played on Davis for most of the night, 23 minutes for him, 10 and 4 with a steal and a block and a 3. And Kevin Seraphin got red hot. He scored 12 points in 14 minutes, 3 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal. If you've been listening to this podcast for long enough, you know that I'm a big fan of Kevin Seraphin. And if he's a guy that would get starters minutes under some situation, I really think that he can be a very, very good player. It just hasn't happened yet. Kylo Quinn was reduced to 9 minutes. He can be dropped in anything outside of a really, really deep league. Lou Amundson continues to play 10 minutes. And if you haven't seen the Knicks-Pelicans game, you need to go and have a look. And you need to have a look at Lou Amundson's hair. And it is fantastic. He puts himself immediately into the top 5 hairstyles in the NBA with that. And the reason he did it, for any of you guys who are unaware on the name of hairstyles, the hairstyle is called a French braid. And he was wearing the French braid today in solidarity for the people of France and of Paris, of which he has a teammate, Kevin Seraphin, who is French as well. So Amundson had the French braid, and Kevin Seraphin's hair was pretty awesome as well. If you saw the back of his head, he had the Paris and the Eiffel Tower shaved into the back of his head. So Lou Amundson, massive 3 thumbs up from me from that French braid. Lance Thomas continues to get minutes, but if anyone can explain why, I don't. Someone did tweet at me of why Lance Thomas gets minutes, and I think it was the reason is because he goes to Duke, or he went to Duke, and it was some sort of a NBA conspiracy that because he went to Duke, he needs to get minutes. So I'm happy to run with that, because it's seriously the only reason that it could possibly be that he continues to see minutes ahead of guys who he shouldn't be seeing minutes ahead of. The next game is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Big win for the Grizz. Mike Conley, 20 points, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 4 threes. Zach Randolph went 14-8 with a steal and a block. And Marc Gasol, 16-7-4 with a couple of blocks. So big performances from most of their big players. Jeff Green was inserted into the starting lineup, replaced Courtney Lee, and he played 35 minutes, went 21-4-3. Do not get too sucked into Jeff Green. The minutes have definitely been trending up for him, and he is a talented player, but he's just so flaky. He does he does play better when he's not a primary focus, and he's definitely not a primary focus on this team. So it does allow him to do some things. If you're looking for a flyer guy in a 12-team league, you may be grabbing because he could be okay, but his ceiling is probably 100. He doesn't have top 50 ceiling. He doesn't have top 70 ceiling. You might get a couple of extra rounds value off him if you grab him now. So he's not going to be for everyone. If you own Courtney Lee, then he was demoted to the bench. He played 28 minutes. He had a triple one, 7 points and six rebounds, but not a lot to love there. And Matt Barnes was reduced to 13 minutes with Tony Allen down to 23. And again, nothing changes with Tony Allen. He's still a guy you only want for steals. A player that deep league guys are going to need to pay attention to, at least for the next couple of weeks, is Jermichael Green. He played 25 minutes, he had 12 points, he had 7 rebounds, he had a triple one as well, and he's getting a lot of the big man minutes with Brandon Wright sidelined with that knee problem. He's playing 17 minutes a game, 5 rebounds, half a 3, 7 points, half a steal, half a block, and that's not all that exciting, but for deeper league guys, there's definitely a little bit of something there for Jermichael Green, and he's playing a much bigger role than I think a lot of people would have anticipated. So he's a name that not many people would be aware of. I think that he's putting up some decent numbers. For the Timberwolves, no Ricky Rubio again. Zach LaVine got the start. He played 17 minutes. If you're wondering why, it's because of personal fouls. He had 5 fouls. He had 25 points in 17 minutes. He hit 4 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Again, he remains one of these guys who is just a much better fantasy producer than he is an actual real-life basketball player. He's not a point guard. He's a guy who should be able to develop off the ball. I'm still not convinced that he's going to be good at all, but in situations when Rubio's out, he has clear value, and you have to look at him there. Now, Rubio should be back at some point this week, and that's going to render LaVine basically useless. He hasn't played alongside another point guard, or minimally, all season. So to expect him to still play 30, 25, 27 minutes a game, 30 minutes, is not something that's going to be realistic. Andre Miller played 34 minutes with Rubio out and LaVine limited. 8 points, 8 assists, 3 steals. So congratulations. If you some reason added Andre Miller, you got a pretty decent result. Andrew Wiggins didn't just have a triple one. He had a quintuple one. 21 points and then 1 3, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. Just continues to do it in the scoring category and not much else. While 14 and 9 for Karl Anthony Towns with a block. Kevin Martin struggled. 18 minutes for him, 8 points. Gorgui Dieng, 16 minutes, 8 points. Dieng is done as a standard league player for now, unless something happens to Karl Anthony Towns. He is strictly a backup center at this point. Nemanja Bjelica had a real stinker. 4 points, 1 rebound in 24 minutes. You know my thoughts on Bjelica. I think, and if you are a new listener, yes, he's been putting up pretty decent numbers, but he wasn't someone that I was all over. There's just not enough for me to like in what he does. From a stats perspective, his usage is so low. He doesn't take any shots. He's shooting at a red-hot level that is bound to come down. His free throws are horrible, and he just doesn't do enough for me. You obviously have to own him, but it's getting close. If he puts up another couple of games like that, then what he can do, his upside is not high enough to withstand the negatives that can come and that did come in this game. The next game up is the Portland Trailblazers and the Charlotte Hornets. Big night from Alan Crabb from the Blazers. He played 27 minutes and had 17 points. He's been on a really hot streak shooting the ball. But that Blazers rotation is a little bit of a mess at the moment. Chris Kaman started the last game, didn't play at all in this one. They went with Noah Vonleh in the start, and he played 24 minutes, 9 and 6. Ed Davis initially was going to start, and then they changed their mind last minute, and he went back to a bench role. So it was 24 minutes to Vonleh, 22 minutes to Ed Davis, 21 minutes to Mo Harkless. We saw Cliff Alexander playing 17 minutes for his first NBA action. Alan Crabb played 27 minutes. So basically, they're running a selection of guys through the four, putting Al-Farouq Aminu at the four as well. But even he was limited in this game due to foul trouble. 22 minutes for Aminu, 7 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. So the minutes for Alexander probably won't be 17 again, and Crabb will have his reduced somewhat. But it's interesting to know with Aminu struggling, Gerald Henderson only played 7 minutes, which is great. It's great if you're a fan of NBA basketball if Gerald Henderson isn't playing, although he does provide some highlights in terms of his dunking ability at times. He's just not a fun guy to watch. There's no pickup for the Blazers. You're not picking up Noah Vonleh, I don't think. You're not picking up Ed Davis. I don't think you're picking up Alan Crabb. You're not picking up Mo Harkless in a 12-team league. In a 14-team league, then all of those guys. Yeah, Vonleh is going to continue to start and play 24 minutes, and 14-team leaguers are going to be able to use him. Ed Davis is probably already owned in a 14-team league for his defensive stats. But these other guys, it feels like they're going to be spreading the minutes and using these guys based on matchups, which is not great for us fantasy owners. Mason Plumlee grabbed 13 boards with a block. CJ McCollum had 16 points, 4 assists, a steal, and a brutal field goal percentage, 5 of 18 for him from the field. Damian Lillard, 23, 8, and 5, and he was equally as brutal, going 9 of 25 from the field with his shooting. Nick Batum, pretty good. He was a guy who struggled last season. I was banging the Nick Batum drum really hard in the offseason, knowing that, not no, I didn't know. If I'd have known, then yeah, if I was able to predict these things with extreme certainty, I wouldn't get anything wrong, and I do. But Nick Batum was a guy that I was hopeful was going to bounce back, and I was confident that the performance that he turned in last season was injury and personal related, not to do with the decline in form. He is balling at the moment. He's averaging 17.7 points. He's almost double his scoring output from last season, 2.5 threes, 6.5 rebounds, 3.8 assists, a steal, half a block, 47 and 87 his percentages. He is a legit top 30 player at the moment. He is this team's number one option offensively. They want to run so much through him. He's an awesome player who had a really stinkful last season, and he's really showing fantasy owners and showing NBA fans again just how good he can be, and it's great because I'm a huge, huge Nick Batum fan, and I love seeing him be able to re-energize himself and putting up big minutes. He had 33 points here in 39 minutes, 5 threes, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and went 11 of 19 from the field. He is a guy, again, I've been all over in this offseason. I'm rapt that he's doing this. Al Jefferson had his best game, 29 points in 30 minutes. He went 13 of 17 from the field, 5 points, 3 assists, a steal and a block. He's a guy that we thought was getting close to done. And then it came out that the Hornets had been practicing, so much of their practice in just feeding him the ball. It clearly worked in this game. Whether they continue to do it, it's one good game versus a couple of stinkers or a fair few stinkers in a row for Jefferson. You're obviously still owning him, but you're not buying based off this. You're not selling. Well, if someone wants to buy based on this, you can sell. But I think that this is, he's probably somewhere in the middle of some of those terrible games and this great game. I think that we're going to see this rarely. Kemba Walker, 14, 4, and 5, 2 threes, 2 steals. A nice night from Kemba. And Jeremy Lamb, look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he is a 60% shooter because he is basically doing that every game. He played 28 minutes, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, a 3, 6 of 10 shooting. I can't believe it, though. I can't buy that Jeremy Lamb is a 60% shooter from the field. This is just one red-hot streak at the moment, and he's not shooting 60. He's shooting 55% from the field. He's not a 55% shooter. He was a 42% guy last year. He was 43 the year before. He was 35 the year before. There's not many shooting guards who are able to shoot at 55%. And by not many, I mean there is zero. There is nobody who shoots this percentage. He's shooting 55% from the field. He's shooting 43% from the free throw line. That makes no sense. He's an 89% shooter last year. He was an 80% shooter the year before. These numbers have got to reverse. He's going to drop off in that situation. So once he does, his scoring is going to come down. His threes are going to come down. He's averaging some nice rebound numbers, but he doesn't provide massive amounts in other areas. I think that you probably have to own him now at some point, though. PJ Hairston is struggling a lot. He's getting the bulk of the minutes. He's playing 24 minutes so far a game, and you can see him starting to get even more trust. Jeremy Lin played just 20 in this one. Hairston played 9, but he did have a quad injury, and he might miss some time. So Lamb, it's a nice spot to own him, but the scoring and the field goal percentage, you can't expect it to continue. Marvin Williams, 34 minutes, 7 and 8 with a steal and 2 blocks, and this is more like Marvin Williams. This is who he is, and Cody Zeller returned to action with his ankle problem. 1 point, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks in 21 minutes. So not a good night for the Codester. Utah and Atlanta. Rudy Gobert was back. Rodney Hood was back. And they both turned in really big nights. 11 and 11 for Gobert in 38 minutes. 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, and went 5 of 7 from the free throw line. So a big night from Gobert. And Rodney Hood hit 4 threes on his way to 20 points with 3 assists. So big nights from both of those guys. Hood's still a guy that I think should be owned in 12-team leagues. He may have been dropped, so have a look to see if he's around. Derek Favors, 23 and 9 with a couple of blocks. Another big night from him. While Gordon Hayward, he went back to the start of the season, Gordon Hayward. 7 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, not much else. Alec Burks off the bench was effective, 18 and 6. Trey Burke dropped in 10 with 5 assists as well. And Harlan Neto just continues to start, and for what reason, I've got no idea. 12 minutes for Neto, 2 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. I say this all the time. you start him and you play him 12 minutes. What's the point? When you've got someone else out there three quarters of the game at point, who cares if he starts the game? It seems to make zero sense to me. And I'll never be able to understand playing a guy and starting him, or starting a guy and playing him 10 minutes and just continually doing it every night. It makes no sense, and it's nothing to do with chemistry, because, as I said, you know, what about the other 25 minutes that Hood plays, the other 25 minutes that Gobert plays, the other 24 minutes that Favors plays? They're playing with someone else, so it doesn't jive to me that it's a chemistry thing. It makes no sense. The Atlanta Hawks, another one from Paul Millsap, 28-6, a three, a steal, two blocks. At this point, we know what we're getting from him every night, and it's pretty good. Al Horford, 16-5-5, a steal and block, and another two threes. This is just crazy to me, the threes that Al Horford's hitting. He is just, he's basically a completely different player. Kent Bazemore got back on track a bit, 16 points. He did sprain his ankle, though, so we need to watch to see if he misses any time. If he does, it'd be interesting to see what the Hawks do. I reckon they might get Schroeder in there and start Schroeder next to Jeff Teague when Jeff Teague comes back. Now, Teague missed this game with an ankle problem, and Schroeder started anyway, and Schroeder went 11-6-9. But I reckon that they could play him together, or they go and put Thabo Sefolosha out there, who doesn't have much fantasy impact, although he's a great defensive stat guy. Another steal and two blocks for Thabo here. But back to Bazemore. He went 16-3-3 with two threes. But it's on the back again of red hot shooting, 6 of 7, which is not who Kent Bazemore is. He's not a good shooter. He's definitely not an 86% shooter. So some of those numbers will come back down. It'll be interesting to see if he does miss any time, what exactly the Hawks do. But Schroeder, if you picked him up for today, I wouldn't be dropping, because even if T comes back, and even if Schroeder doesn't start, if Bazemore happens to miss time, you should see him getting that 26, 27 minute role, which would be useful for fantasy leagues. The Boston Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's a huge win for Boston on the road against the Thunder by 15 points. It just demolished them in the end. Isaiah Thomas started next to Marcus Smart, as I mentioned before, 22-8 with three threes. He has been awesome this season. And Jared Sullinger, this is what I like. This is, you know, I've hung enough shit on Brad Stevens about the rotations, but 31 minutes for Jared Sullinger, 30 minutes for Amir Johnson, 17 minutes for Kelly Olynyk, 14 minutes for David Lee. I approve. This is what you should be doing. Sullinger, only 8 points and a poor shooting night, but 15 rebounds, 4 steals and a block. He's absolutely must-own everywhere, and he's not owned everywhere. He has to be owned. This is consistent production, consistent minutes for Sullinger, and you can't ask for much more. Big minutes for Amir Johnson in the last couple of games as well. He went 7-5 with 3 blocks. He's becoming a guy you have to start looking at in 12-team leagues. Obviously, David Lee is not. And Kelly Olynyk, again, showed why he is probably the best big man on this team. And he's clearly the best fantasy big man on this team. In only 17 minutes, he went 7-7 with a 3, 3 steals and a block. I'm just aching for him to get 30 minutes a night, because we're going to see some big, big performances from him. For now, it's deep league only stuff, probably 16-team leagues for Olynyk, maybe 14-team leagues. But if something happens to one of these guys and we see him with big minutes, you know that you're jumping on him in every perceivable place. Avery Bradley returned from his leg injury, 26 minutes off the bench, 14 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, a 3 and a steal. And you can't expect much more from Avery Bradley. And I really like that role for him. Be interesting to see what the Celtics do, but I like him in that role there. Jay Crowder, I think Matt Smith tweeted it out today, that this was the first game that Crowder had not registered a steal for the season. 10-3 for him with a 3 and a block. And his lofty ranking status had been fueled by those higher steal numbers, which are bound to come down. He still should be owned everywhere, but he's not a top 70, top 80 sort of guy. He's more 100 to 120 type of player. Evan Turner also cooled off with the return of Marcus Smart and Isaiah Tom. Also, a return of Avery Bradley. So Turner played 24 minutes, went 2-3-3. Russell Westbrook, 33 minutes for Westbrook, 27-4-5 with 3 steals, 2 blocks, and 2 threes. On the surface is really good, but if you spent $11,500 in daily fantasy, you're probably disappointed with that, to be honest. It's not a great line for that, the amount that you needed to spend on him. I'm glad that I didn't put him into my lineups on Moneyball, and I able to I cashed in every single one of them, so I was pretty happy with that. And that was always the risk with him going against that, with that huge salary. You needed him to have a massive game. And he just didn't go massive. He was good, but he wasn't massive. Serge Ibaka, 16-10 with 3 blocks. A nice night from him. Anthony Morrow got the start and did nothing. 15 minutes, 0 points, 2 assists. Nothing to get excited about from Murrow. We're not adding him anywhere, even though he is starting. Dion Waiters took 11 shots, so that's encouraging. Third most on the team. Only hit 3 of them for 7 points, but he's the guy to add if you're looking for that end-of-the-bench producer. Stephen Adams played 30 minutes, 6 and 7. And whatever lies Billy Donovan's telling about Enes Kanter getting more minutes, well, they're clearly lies. They're not true. 8-2 for Kanter in 16 minutes. He did have a steal and a block, though. And he's getting really close to being a not ownable guy in 12-team leagues. If he's going to get sub 20 minutes on a consistent basis, then he's just not ownable. For as good as he can be as a scorer and a rebounder and a percentage guy, he's just not going to be ownable at that sort of level of minutes. So the fact that Nicholson played 15 minutes and Enes Kanter played 16 minutes is an indictment on Kanter. And it's also not great to me in terms of Billy Donovan, especially when your team only scores 85 points and you've got Kanter out there who is a legit offensive force. You could probably get him out there a few more minutes instead of running Nicholson 15 minutes, which is probably 15 minutes too many for Nicholson. He's not a good player. The Raptors and the Kings, massive, massive win for the Kings. This is a huge letdown for the Raptors. They should have been banking on this victory. Obviously, they're traveling to the West Coast, a little bit difficulty there, but they should have put this one away. They didn't. Kyle Lowry did his best, 22s, 2 and 7, 6 threes, 4 steals and a block. He was huge. DeMar DeRozan, he is just putting up line after line, 24, 4 and 5 with 5 steals. Yes, he's a stinker from the field goal percentage perspective, but he's really, so I think he'd be surprising a lot of you guys with some of the numbers he's putting up this season. And Corey Joseph in a 26-minute performance, 17, 4 and 4. 8 of 10 shooting. I've said that a lot for guys that is not sustainable, but he's a legit 50% shooter, and he's proven that over season after season. He's a 50% point guard shooter guy. That was horribly phrased, but you know what I'm trying to get at. He's that guy. He's not an 80% guy, but he's also not a 40% guy. Corey Joseph or Terrence Ross is out. I really like him definitely in 14-team leagues. In 12-team leagues, I've got him in a 12-team league, and I'm really happy with him at the moment. And I think that you can find spots on your roster for him. Damari Carroll hit 4 threes for 17 points. Patrick Patterson, 9 points, all of them coming for threes. And Luis Scola struggled a bit, 3 and 4 with a 3 in his 20 minutes. I mentioned Bismack Biyombo before, playing 27 minutes, 4 and 6 for him. He's just not rosterable in fantasy leagues. DeMarcus Cousins, he's pretty good. He's not pretty good. He's very, very good. He's a top 10 player in the NBA. He's a clear top 10 fantasy guy as well. He played 41 minutes and went 36 and 10. He had 3 threes, 3 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, 12 of 22, and 9 of 12 from the free throw line. Big men hitting threes is the new thing this season. Al Horford going crazy, but DeMarcus Cousins is averaging 1.9 threes a game. It's probably not going to continue at that rate. But he's crazy. He's shooting the ball like crazy. 28 points a game, 11 rebounds, 1.3 blocks, 0.6 steals, 2.1 assists. His assists can come up, his steals can come up, and his blocks can come up. He is going to be huge when all that sort of stuff starts coming together. Add in the fact that he's averaging 4 points a game more than last season. He's just an absolute animal. Ben McLemore got another start over James Anderson, and as for bad as McLemore has been this season, he is 100 times better than what James Anderson is. 25 minutes for McLemore, 8 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 threes. We're not rushing to grab him anywhere, but the trend of him starting is interesting. Rudy Gay, one of his better nights, 27, 6, and 3. And Omri Caspi continues to be undervalued and underrated by people. I think 14 and 5 with 2 steals and a block. He's a really good player. Rajon Rondo, 43 minutes. Not quite a triple-double, 7 and 7 with a 3, 14 assists and 2 steals on 3 of 10 shooting. So overall, a pretty good night, but we are most likely going to see Darren Collison back in the next game. Willie Cauley-Stein played only 8 minutes before leaving with a head injury. It is not a concussion, so we don't have that to worry about. 4 rebounds and a block for him. With him out, Costa Kufos and Quincy Acey will get more of minutes, although inexplicably to me, Acey played 15 minutes and Kufos played 13. Neither one of them are probably ownable, or definitely not AC, but Kufos is probably still not a 12-team league guy. Marco Bellinelli struggled with his shot, 7 points on 2 of 8 shooting. Not much else there for him. The last game of the night, the Detroit Pistons and the Los Angeles Lakers. Disappointing loss for the Pistons as well. Andre Drummond, 17 and 17, a steal, no blocks. Still a pretty decent night, just not enough, and Reggie Jackson really struggled. He played 24 minutes. He was benched down the stretch. 9 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a 3. Not a great night from Reggie Jackson. He's been obviously a lot better than that, so let's not read too much into this. Spencer Dinwiddie caught fire. He was 17-2-4 with a 3 in his 24 minutes, and he was part of the reason that Jackson stayed on the bench. I'm glad that Dinwiddie got the minutes over Steve Blake, because I'd like to see them develop someone who has got a future rather than Steve Blake, who is literally just terrible at the moment, and he's 150 years old. So good to see Dinwiddie getting those minutes. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 10-3-2, 2 threes, 2 steals. And the 2 threes, 2 steals is what he can become, I think, at some point in his career. Marcus Morris, again, 32 minutes, but 7 points. He is just so inefficient at the moment. 7 rebounds, a steal, 2 blocks. I don't blame you if you're getting frustrated. You're still holding him because he's playing 30 minutes. And Stan Van Gundy did say after the game that Stanley Johnson isn't ready to play small forward minutes. So that's going to limit him. Johnson played 16, 4-3 with 2 steals. Still a nice line, but not enough to unseat Marcus Morris from that role. Ersan Ilyasova, 6-6 in 29 minutes. And not the minutes were good again, 2 in a row for him, but just not a good shooting night for Ilyasova after a really red-hot night the game before. For the Lakers, Kobe Bryant played 36 minutes, and as a result, he won't play Monday because Byron Scott's a dickhead. I can't say it any more than that. Bryant will not play on Monday. He was really good here, 17-8-9, 2 steals and a 3. Yes, he had some bad shooting, but you love that those peripheral numbers. He was really close to a triple-double. He is going to sit the next game, which we'll talk about in the daily fantasy portion of this show. Roy Hibbert, 28 minutes, 12-7 with a couple of blocks. He's playing pretty well this season. There's no other way of saying it for Hibbert. He should be owned in all leagues. D'Angelo Russell benched again down the stretch. Again, Byron Scott, you know what he is. 9-5. And 2 assists for Russell in 21 minutes. Well, Jordan Clarkson went 17-6-3 with some pretty poor free throw shooting. Larry Nance played 17 minutes and went 6-4. He's really intriguing for deep leagues. He's got that 17 to 20 minute role at the moment. He looks really good doing it. So deeper leagues need to pay attention to Larry Nance. Also, Lou Williams was limited to under 20 minutes, 4-2-4. And I can get behind that if it meant more minutes for D'Angelo Russell. It didn't. It meant that Meta World Peace was getting 12 minutes, which is something that shouldn't really be happening in this day and age. But Lou Williams still has 12 team league value, I think, for his ability to score and hit threes. But it is going to be a little bit of a rocky ride with Lou for big chunks of the season. All right, that is it for the daily. Well, no, that's it for the review of Sunday's games. It's time for a quick break, and you can listen to Bryce Whitney and his band Columbia, and the song is called "Don't Go." I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now in your someplace far away, 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 away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street. Okay. We are back now to look at the games for Monday, start of a new week. After I do the daily fantasy portion of the show, we'll have a quick look into the schedule and see what sort of information I can glean from that for you guys. I did write an article if you are members of Basketball Monster, which I do encourage you all to do because there's a stack of value on there, season-long projections, trade analyzers, smart tools for setting your lineup each week, and daily fantasy tools as well to help you win some money. So there's a lot over there to have a look at, but I did write an article about the schedule. Also, yesterday's show, I forgot to put up the top plays at each position at the end of the show, so I do apologize for that, and hopefully I won't forget to do it tonight. The games for tomorrow: Dallas is traveling to Philadelphia for the first game of the night. The Mavericks are favored by 8.5 with a total of 200 in this game. Robert Covington looks like he will be back. We haven't heard anything to say that he won't, so he should be back, but we're not playing him in daily fantasy. But what he's going to do is reduce any value that, say, Christian Wood had, Hollis Thompson had, and Jeremy Grant had. So it's going to be hard to rely upon those guys. I do really like Nerlens Noel, though, at 7,000. The Mavericks do give off some big numbers to opposition power forwards. Noel struggled against the Spurs mightily. I think he's looking for a big bounce-back game here. A double-double, a couple of blocks. At 7,000, it's a pretty good price for him. A tournament guy you want to look at is Nick Stauskas. Now, he was benched down the stretch, but Brett Brown has come out and said that he will be starting this game, so hopefully he gets another 30 minutes. Again, a Dallas team who's not a great team defensively. At 4,000, can he give you 20 points? Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance he can, but it's not reliable in a cash game situation. TJ McConnell as well. He's been struggling a little bit, but at 4,800, I'd like the matchup for him. And same with Dwight Powell at 4,900 for the Mavericks going up against the Sixers. He's been putting up some really consistent value, 24.6 in his last five. If he gives you another 25 here, you're pretty happy at a salary of less than 5,000. Now, the Mavericks will be welcoming back Wes Matthews, Chandler Parsons, and Dirk Nowitzki. So guys like Charlie Villanueva, Ray Felton, John Jenkins, Justin Anderson will have their value reduced. Now, Felton is only priced at 3,800. So there is still a little bit of something there for him. He's been playing over 20 minutes a game, even in the games when Parsons and Matthews plays. So he's got a relatively secure role. And against Philadelphia at 3,800, if he drops 20 points on them, it's okay for cash games. It's probably a little bit risky, but it's worth paying attention to. Jahlil Okafor, 6,700. He's been playing really, really well of late. Can't argue with going against him. I would argue solidly against going with Wes Matthews. I changed my mind. At $5,000, his salary is low enough where I think that we can get some value for him. It's not the best play on the board, but for shooting guards, there's not a ton of value. There's not a ton of value on the board for shooting guards. So I think that Wes Matthews is not a bad play, but I'm not putting him in many cash game lineups. Zaza Pachulia at 5,800. I think that price is probably a little bit high for him. He's been really consistent, but can he actually do better than that? That feels like a little bit of a stretch to me. And Darren Williams at 6,200. I think I'll leave that alone. He needs to do a lot more than what he's been doing. For as good as he's been at 6,200, the salary is just a little bit high for my liking. Boston and Houston is the next game up. The Celtics, fresh off that big win, they're going to take on an injury-depleted Houston. Dwight Howard will be back, but Patrick Beverley is likely no-go, and Montrezl Harrell is questionable with his ankle problem. There is some value on the Celtics guys here. I think there's a lot of value. Jared Sullinger at 5,600. He's been putting up he's averaging over 32 in his last five. That's great at 5,600. He's a really nice play. Jay Crowder at 5,000. He's solid as well. I think he's worth a look. And Isaiah Thomas at 7,200 has been playing exceptionally well as of late too. So this is shaping up to be a pretty high total game. There's no spread out for it at the moment, but I imagine it's going to be a pretty high total game. So these guys can have some value. Kelly Olynyk in a tournament at 3,700. He's had a high score this year of 40, and at 3,700, he just needs 23, 24 minutes to do it. He could blow up in one of your lineups. So take a look at him in that sort of situation. And Terrence Jones has been massive since he's come back at 5,900. I think that he is definitely worth a go as well. James Harden at 10,200. Yeah, Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart are pretty good defenders. Not saying they can stop James Harden, but they might limit his ability to get over $10,000 worth of value. And I don't put much stock in Marcus Smart being able to repeat a 43-point FanDuel point night for him for as good as he was at 5,300. I think I'll need to see him do it a couple more times. Dwight Howard is still way too overpriced at 8,200. I don't want any piece of him at that sort of price. Now, it looks like the Marcus Thornton trade has come to an abrupt halt, so we can get him out of any lineup that we may have wanted to use him in. The Indiana Pacers and the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are favored by 4.5. The total is 196.5, so it's not all that appealing. George Hill is considered questionable for the Pacers with an illness. Rodney Stuckey is dealing with his ankle problem as well. He is questionable. And so the guy we want to watch here is Monte Ellis. If George Hill is out at 6,600, Ellis has been playing a lot better of late. Now, if Hill plays, I probably don't want anything to do with Ellis. But if Hill is out, Ellis definitely gets a big bump. And I think Paul George does as well. George is still solid at 9,200 anyway. But if Hill doesn't happen to play, then George gets a bit more of a bump. Overall, there's not a massive amount of value. 7,900 for Jimmy Butler. I like that he's come under 8,000 now. I still don't really know if I put a huge amount of trust in him. He's only averaging 31.4, which is nowhere near enough at that salary. You need him to be averaging way higher than that. His highest score over the last five is still under 40, and at 7,900, you need it to be over 40. So I'm probably steering clear of him in most situations. Definitely not putting Nikola Mirotic or Joakim Noah into lineups either, irrespective of who starts. And Derrick Rose at 6,800. This price is coming down, but it's definitely not coming down far enough for me to really invest in Derrick Rose. The last three games of the night do not have spreads released as of this moment. Oklahoma City and Memphis. There's going to be no KD in this one. Of course, Jeff Green at 3,800 is really, really intriguing. Yeah, he started the last game. We're probably not going to get that big a game out of him, but at less than 4,000, he's a pretty decent play, especially for tournaments, as is Jermichael Green, a guy that I talked about earlier. He's at min salary, 3,500. He put up 23.9 in the last game. He's averaging almost 14 points over the last five. And if he gives you 16, or if he gives you 20 points, 21 points, you're laughing at that sort of salary. So there's a little bit of upside there for him with Brandon Wright out. Mike Conley at 6,300 has been pretty solid. Not many other guys that stand out to me as great options. Yes, Russell Westbrook's playing again. 11,400, though. Remember how big he's going to have to go against a Grizzlies team who grinds it down, slows it down. I mentioned yesterday how I was probably going to be fading him in lineups. He only put up 45 points, and that's awesome. But it's not enough at 11,000. At 11,000 or 11,500, he needs to be going 58, 60 points, close to, probably not 60, 57, 58 points he needs to be going for. And against the Grizzlies, I don't really like the chances of that happening, to be honest. His highest score over the last five is actually under 58. So to me, this is definitely a situation where you don't look to put Westbrook in. And next minute, he's going to go out there with a quadruple-double, of course. I'm avoiding him, though. Chalmers, I'll leave him alone for another game and see what happens. Look, a tournament at 4,000, you might see something from him. But even he had a pretty decent game today. It was only 21 points, so the upside's not really there for me. The other guys, there's not really anyone else to really mention too much. The San Antonio Spurs and the Portland Trail Blazers is next up. Kawhi Leonard is probable with that illness. He'll likely play, and so will Manu Ginobili, who is dealing with that adductor strain. Shouldn't be any concern about them not playing. Danny Green at 4,100. Something has got to give. We know that you can't play him in a cash game, but in a tournament at 4,100, I think you have to put him in there. I do like Tony Parker at 4,800. He's been okay. He's really low price, so there's a little bit of value in him. And Noah Vonleh at 3,500. If he's going to start again, obviously it's a later game, so we might not get that information early enough, which can be a little bit of a concern when setting your lineup. But if you want to take a risk on him at 3,500, there's a little bit of something there to have with him. Damian Lillard at 9,100, one of the best point guards on the board. 9,100 is expensive, but if you're looking to spend money at the point guard position, it's hard to go past him. And CJ McCollum at 6,500. He's only averaging 25 the last five games. It's not enough at 6,500. He needs to go 30, 35, that sort of range. And he has been struggling to do that of late. LaMarcus Aldridge against his former team. 8,100, he's still too expensive. And Kawhi Leonard at 8,400, I'm not really sure that I want to be spending 8,400 on Kawhi Leonard in this game. The last matchup of the night is the Los Angeles Lakers and the Phoenix Suns. I've already mentioned that Kobe Bryant is out. Roy Hibbert sustained a broken nose in the game against the Pistons. He is going to play. We need to check on the status of a couple of Phoenix guys. Markieff Morris is dealing with that knee sprain, and Ronnie Price with the concussion. They're both listed as questionable. If Morris plays at 5,500, I think it's an awesome matchup for him. Lakers, power forwards and Lakers, they generally put up pretty big numbers. This is a great situation for him if he plays. Use it cautiously, though. Nick Young at 3,600. No Kobe. He should get a minutes bump. I do like him in this matchup. It should be a relatively high-paced affair. And Tyson Chandler at 5,600 against the Lakers. Big men, centers in particular, get a bump also. He's a nice center option at 5,600. Brandon Knight struggled in the last game. He's at 6,900. I'm getting back on the Brandon Knight bandwagon. And Eric Bledsoe's price continues to rise. He's now at 8,700, but it's really hard to avoid using him. He's averaging almost 43 points in the last five games. That's almost at value at 8,700. 8,700 is making it a little bit difficult, but he's just been playing that well and against the Lakers team where he could absolutely tear them a new one. Julius Randle at 5,800, not a bad option. He was okay today, dropped 23, which is all right, but you need to go 27 or 28. And I'm avoiding the other Lakers guards here. Clarkson, Russell, Lou Williams, I'll avoid all of those guys. Roy Hibbert at 5,400 definitely has some allure. He's averaging 26 points. But at 5,400, it doesn't quite feel like it's the right spot to use Roy Hibbert. All right, now I have remembered. Let's put up my daily fantasy picks for Monday. At point guard, TJ McConnell at 4,800, the best of the low price point guards. Brandon Knight at 6,900 as a mid price guy, and Damian Lillard at 9,100. At shooting guard, Nick Young at 3,600. Wes Matthews at 5,000. That's why I reversed track on him before, because I remembered that was a pretty poor mid-range shooting guard bunch. So there is some ability to use Matthews, but it has to be in a tournament option. Eric Bledsoe at 8,700. Small forwards, Jeff Green at 38, Jay Crowder at 5,000, and Paul George at 9,200. The power forwards, Jermichael Green at 3,500. Nerlens Noel at 7,000 and LaMarcus Aldridge at 8,100. And again, there was just a lack of big name or big price power forwards. Aldridge is the best of the bunch, but it's not a great situation for him. And at center, Kelly Olynyk 3,700, Tyson Chandler at 5,600, and Marc Gasol at 7,500 rounds out the daily fantasy plays for the day. All right, we are done with today's podcast. Don't forget to check out the sponsor, moneyball.com.au. You know, if you're in Australia or New Zealand, it is the only daily fantasy site, so make sure you're getting involved there. Check out all the stuff at hardwoodparoxysm.com and, of course, basketballmonster.com. You can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Subscribe to the show on YouTube and on iTunes and in Stitcher, and leave a review on those platforms to become a daily sponsor of the show. That would be very, very much appreciated if you could do that. All right, that's it. I think we're done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.